Welcome back. We are at the 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. And this is Jamie Edmonds. It's not Paul W. Smith. I'm happy to be here. We're in the atrium of the Rensen. And right now you're hearing the roar of the cars, the IMSA WeatherTech sports cars zooming by. So it's a perfect time to have John Doonan, IMSA Racing Series president, joining me on a sunny afternoon. Hey, John.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled.
Did we do this on purpose that they're practicing and you're with us?
I am not so sure, but I like the connection for sure.
I like it too.
And thanks for the weather. It's absolutely stunning.
Where did you say you were from?
Grew up in the Chicago area. Still have a home there. And, of course, our headquarters for IMSA are in Daytona Beach, Florida. So I love the less humid weather up here for sure.
Yeah, we're not there quite yet.
Not
right?
yet.
All right, so let's talk about IMSA. Now, I've covered these races for a long time, so I know the difference. But for people who hear the Grand Prix, maybe they think it's the same car and it's every single day, but it is not. There are nuances here, and you're a completely different series.
We are. So IMSA stands for the International Motorsports Association. Been around for over 50 years. It was founded in 1969, and it is really, at its core, a laboratory for the auto industry. So we have 18 different automakers that race with us. On Sunday in the IndyCar Series race, Honda and Chevrolet will go at it. But we have 18
wow.
that race with us. So there's two classes this weekend. The GTP class, which is prototypes. Best analogy, it looks like the Batmobile. But Acura, Cadillac, BMW, Aston Martin, and Porsche are in there. And then the GT cars. Cars that would look similar to what you might see out on I-94 going down Jefferson.
Well, they go as fast on 94 as they do.
Well, you know, I was looking it up this morning. The speed limit on Jefferson on any day is 35 out here in front of the Rensen. Our cars are close to 200 miles an hour. So I don't know what the ticket is for that, but, you know, 160 miles an hour over the speed limit is probably an issue.
Get me a Detroit police officer stat to get that information.
Yes.
But, okay, so the IMSA races, they go on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll run a 100-minute race tomorrow. And
that's also different, right? Because IndyCar is about the lap.
Correct.
You guys are about the time.
Always time. So we run the Rolex 24, which is 24 hours in Daytona, the 12 hours of Sebring in Florida, the 10 hours at Petit Le Mans. So this race and the race we just had in California at Long Beach are our shortest at 100 minutes. But the format is still the same. So you and I could co-drive in the race tomorrow. We would split that 100 minutes up. We would make a pit stop. You would jump out, I would jump in, and we would share the car. So that
does the second person finish the race?
That's correct.
One pit stop?
Yeah. Well, you could also strategize. Most likely you would be faster than me, so you might start. I might get in the middle, and we might put you back in the end.
Oh.
So there's a lot of strategy there that the teams have to play out.
Well, again, a Detroit police officer has pulled me over before for maybe a little bit of a lead foot. One of the drivers is Ricky Taylor, correct?
Yes, in
the
yes.
He's a fan favorite. I've interviewed him a bunch of times. He's fun, and he's with a duo with Albuquerque.
That's right.
And what are their chances this
Well,
weekend?
I think, to be honest with you, this circuit is very tight, and it's our job to balance the different platforms. Cadillac brings a V8, Acura V6, Porsche and BMW V8 turbos. And so the Cadillac, being a normally aspirated, a non-turbo power plant, gives them a big drive off the corner. So I like Ricky and Philippe's chances. I like Jordan, who's Ricky's brother, and Louis Delatraz's chances, and of course the Wieland Cadillac team as well. So I can't play favorites, but
of course you can't.
The
no.
Cadillacs being in the shadows of the Rensen, probably a good chance for them.
Yeah, and is the access to the IMSA drivers the same as the IndyCar drivers? Because I found that to be just so refreshing and lovely that kids, any fans can like go in the garage, see the car.
Correct. Yes, we have a very open access policy. You can come to the IMSA paddock with a GA ticket. Our grid walk, which will take place before the race tomorrow, is open typically at most venues to anyone with a general admission ticket. So to your point, access has been a big driver in growing our fan base and giving people just the ultimate experience when it comes to seeing the cars and the drivers up close.
And, you know, it piques my interest whenever there's a female driver or a mechanic or whatever. I've done stories on that. There's Catherine Legge in the IndyCar series. Do you have any something like that in the IMSA series?
We absolutely do. I think one of the special things about a race car is the car doesn't know who's behind the wheel,
right?
Man or woman. And in our case, we've seen a huge trend in up-and-coming female drivers in what is the ladder system of IMSA. At the same time, the laptop doesn't know who's driving it. So from an engineering standpoint, we have a ton of female engineers race winning and championship winning, as well as over-the-wall pit stops. You see a lot of females doing driver changes, being part of the crew. So for us, it is absolutely a non-denominational sport when it comes to men and women being able to compete. And probably
owners too, or not yet?
We have some female owners in the paddock. And you know, the fact of the matter is, there's minutes of our race, the car and the laptops don't know who's driving.
Excellent. Well, talk about when your races are and how people can come see you guys.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to do qualifying today for the 100-minute race tomorrow. We race later in the day. We're on NBC Sports, so if you can't make it down, you'll watch us live on NBC Network. But tomorrow from that 4 to 6 window, we're going to run 100 minutes. Last year, this circuit is very tight.
Yeah.
And it created one of the most exciting races of our season. We're about midway through the championship, so there's a lot at stake as people look to the latter half of the season.
Excellent. Well, John Doonan, you are IMSA Racing Series president. I could see you're all smiles over there. You love the weather, you love your series, you love your drivers, and it emanates from you.
Yeah, I grew up at the racetrack, so I'm a fan of the sport, and racing is a big family to me. So we travel to all these different venues, and each venue has its own personality.
Yeah.
And I think for the auto industry, there's no better place for us to demonstrate the power, the excitement of racing than here in downtown Detroit.
I find it so fun. And the one time I did the media drive, I think it was in a sports car, and they took me around. And I was white-knuckling the handle.
Yeah, I think, you know, we go fast in a straight line, but I think for someone like yourself that's never experienced the braking or the acceleration.
I thought we were going to hit the wall.
It's a whole new experience. Yeah, so we come within inches of the walls here at the Chevrolet Grand Prix.
John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Mike Parsons, thank you for having me on the Focus Show.
Ah, hit the right button. Thanks for coming on. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we couldn't think of anyone better to sit in for Paul, especially, I mean, with all the Grand Prix you've covered and how much you love it. Maybe you should start your own racing show. That's your next podcast.
That's the next podcast. Yeah, my current podcast is sort of covering what I'm going through right now, and I feel so grateful that I feel okay to come here and do this today, because this makes me feel like, okay, normal life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, we said from the beginning, we're keeping you close. You're going to be just as busy as normal. And, I mean, people feel like they know you. You've been coming into their living rooms. You've been coming into their you've been coming into their cars and their radio speakers for years and years. So it's great to get you on whenever we can.
Well, I appreciate it. And you promoting the pod, Jamie's Journey, Angels Along the Way. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit, because I got some great thank you notes. Or not thank you notes, encouragement notes from listeners I want to get into as well.
And you introduced a new character, Samantha, recently.
Samantha's here.
Yes.
That's a little tease.
She's sassy. You got to listen to the podcast to know what we're talking
about. She's style. She's Grace. She's Samantha. Much more coming up on the Focus Show. Automotive Views is brought to you by Bridgestone. No matter what the next generation of mobility will be, it will be on the wheels, and Bridgestone will be there. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Here's Mike Martinez.
Chrysler's no longer on life support. Stellantis said this week the historic brand, which in recent years has been reduced to a single product, will get some much-needed investment as part of a new company-wide business plan. That involves updating the Pacifica minivan, as well as adding three new crossovers by 2030. Two of those three new crossovers will be priced under $30,000. With the new products, Stellantis aims to grow Chrysler's volume by 60% to about 225,000 vehicles in 2030. It's all part of an aggressive plan that includes multiple new products for the North American market, including new Ram compact and midsize pickups, and an entry-level Dodge that executives liken to a better version of the Hornet. There's been some conjecture that Stellantis might abandon underperforming brands. It's refreshing to see the international automaker recognize Chrysler's value here in the U.S. and give it the money to succeed. This week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.